All right, and welcome to Fast Break Breakfast. My name is Keith. I'm here as always with two gentlemen I barely know, John and Chuck.
Yes, ma'am.
John, how are you doing today?
Fantabulous.
What'd you have for breakfast?
I had grapefruit.
Oh.
It's like my new thing I'm doing.
With a little bit of, you either do a spoonful of sugar or are you just doing, you're going healthy, man.
Straight grapefruit.
Just spooning those things out.
It's supposed to be good for the prostate.
Mmm.
Supposed to be good for the mental acumen.
Mmm.
Which I've been struggling with, particularly with all these trades. I don't know who plays for whom any longer.
That's good, Chuck.
I know no one plays for the Sixers. Oh. That's all I know.
The Sixers have no players. However, they did pick up a lot of salary. So maybe they won't be passing out those extra Christmas presents to their roster.
I believe they picked up Jack and
two very strong players.
Yeah.
I'm Chuck Anderson. Welcome, everyone, to the Fast Break Breakfast NBA podcast.
Yes.
I had a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful breakfast. I had some steak, some cube steak.
Oh.
Had breaded. I fried it up in a little in my cast iron skillet. I had my famous eggs that I made.
Wait, what? You didn't go to a fast food establishment?
No, not today.
You ate all this at home? It's been iced over.
Very icy in Nashville, so, you know, I know how to throw it down in the kitchen. I'll whip it real good. And, whip it.
Yeah, things have been a little out of control. The state of Tennessee and where we record this in Nashville, we don't have the infrastructure to deal with any amounts of snow or ice. And
we're in a state of emergency.
The city's in a state of emergency pretty much. We're now trying to squeeze out this podcast before perhaps another round of freezing precipitation. If you don't know, we don't really salt the roads. We don't really, only the main roads might be, you know,
and don't have enough salt. And remember, all the southern stereotypes are true. We're stupid.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And we're killing each other out there.
Yes.
Yeah, we all
Chuck did nearly kill me the other night.
I did, but that was a controlled.
He was goofing while driving. Mm-hmm. Goofing, and then the goof.
And kids.
The goof went a little
long. The goof got real.
Kids, you're not supposed to goof while driving.
Yeah,
don't goof.
That's a lesson from Uncle Chuck.
And then I fishtailed a little too long, and then I ended up.
We kind of got like parallel to a brick wall.
Right.
It's just kind of sneaking towards me. I'm not. There's other people in the car, and I'm trying to pretend like I'm having a good time because the other people in the car are
we're losing
furious. And I'm like, Chuck, no. And Chuck, who's laughing his little balls off, suddenly just goes completely silent as we are hurtling towards this brick
when
wall.
When Chuck realizes that I also am now out of control.
I have no control over the situation. I really hope another car doesn't come right now. That's what I was hoping.
The only thing worse than the weather right now is the people on Facebook all making the exact same complaint.
Right.
Oh,
wow,
yeah.
Where's all the bread? Is everyone just eating bread in their homes?
And the continuous complaint.
But
the best
thing about this weather is eating a fantastic breakfast. I don't know what you're doing with your grapefruits, probably why you have seasonal affective disorder and that sneaky little sniffle that you got.
My snort.
All he does is sniffle. You got to stop sniffling, John.
I have full-blown AIDS.
Yeah, I also had a similar thing like you had, Chuck, we're at home. We're snowed in, iced in, so for breakfast, had the pancakes, had the bacon.
Love.
So it's just like,
hate your significant others now? Chuck, you're exempt from this question.
No.
For legal reasons.
And what, just from being snowed in together?
Yes.
No, we actually spend a lot of time together as it is because she works from home a lot.
My partner despises me.
She wants you to go somewhere.
She has asked me to leave multiple times.
Well, we have the multiple levels.
Yes, that's huge.
I've pretty much been freezing myself in the basement. I got the space heater and the blankets, so I'm down there. So, yeah, we have the space, and we're doing
just
fine.
Hitting F5 on...
I spent some QT in the frigid studio that's too cold for us to even record in.
Right,
yeah.
I had my Nintendo 64 hooked up to a tiny television.
Just to get out of the house.
Rather than be around the one I love.
Mm-hmm. All right, so we're moving. This is a special episode in the fact that the NBA trade deadline just went down. The dust is completely settled.
It was a ruckus.
It was
kerfuffle.
I want to say, for my enjoyment and my following of it, it was unprecedented in this information age where we have Twitter, where we have players saying things immediately, where we have all the reports coming out before they happen. So normally, I feel like the trade deadline, it used to be you would watch NBA TV or ESPN later that afternoon to see what all was shaken out, or articles would update on ESPN.com. And now it's all live stream, and it all happened
at once.
From you know, what, 2:40 Eastern until right up to the trade deadline, just everything kept coming. There was no deals, and then there was like, I think, 12 deals or whatever it ended up being.
I had a session, and I had to miss the biggest flurry, and I turned my phone back on, and I had 66 texts from you guys.
It was it was remarkable. So what we're doing, we're not apologizing this week.
No, there's no.
We're not steak and eggsing. We're not cream of wheating. We're just talking trades, except for one thing.
One segment may never die.
We will have an awards portion of the evening, which is coming right now.
Have to. Oscar's right around the corner.
Honestly.
Tis the season.
I had no plans to have an International Stackhouse of Pancakes Award for this exhibition week of no NBA games. However, we had, I believe,
the chubby WNBA player.
I believe.
Chubby WNBA.
I actually forgot about that. Yeah, I guess I could throw in. How do you guys feel? So the celebrity game contained actual current WNBA players. And is that good exposure or is it just embarrassing? Because I thought it was embarrassing.
It was exposure in a way they didn't want it to be because they were two of the lesser players.
I mean, that the one chubby-ish point guard did kind of catch fire near the end. Finally.
Yes.
But she shot. His shooter's going to shoot.
At one point, she had 17 attempts and had like 4 points.
Oh, my goodness. No. But anyway, so we're not even going to. Well, let's not bother with the celebrity game. However, I think I'm just going to go ahead and give this person.
Para did not dunk.
I'm going to give this person. He had a back cut to the goal and a good pass, and he just laid it in.
He was the best player. He tried to dunk twice late in the game, and he wussed out.
I need to say, in the world, the U.S. versus world Rising Stars challenge of first and second year players, where we thought the world would dominate, it actually was closer. That was an interesting game because a lot of those people, I don't know if you guys saw it.
Okay, so that's fine.
I watch it because I enjoy watching those guys play. It was a lower scoring game than normal. A lot of it is because none of those guys are very good shooters on both teams. You had, it's like you have these all-star-ish players whose main thing is they're good defenders. Like Antetokounmpo.
Atome was set early when Giannis.
Gobert.
When Antetokounmpo fouled the balls off of someone.
Oh, yeah.
He turned around and said, oh, we're going to play defense now?
Yeah, yeah. So none of those guys can really shoot. But however, we thought the world would win comfortably because the USA team was particularly bad. And I did actually apologize to this person two weeks ago. And since there are no apologies this week, I will say, haha, once again, I'm right. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, you were horrible.
Truly.
And in this exhibition game, he was 3 for 15 for 8 points. And two of those misses, I think they were misses and not counted as turnovers, where he did a little like post up ISO moves that were just both swallowed by Giannis.
He's just a juggalo.
So Kentavious Caldwell Pope, I kind of just want to give you a International Stackhouse of Pancakes Award. Although we have another person from the big boy game.
Yes.
One of the strangest stories. I mean, this is Magic Johnson post-HIV coming back and just playing in the All-Star Game level weirdness for me. Mm-hmm. Is Carmelo Anthony not playing regular season games, playing 30 minutes in the All-Star Game, and then shutting it down for surgery? So
it's about building that brand.
It is, but Carmelo Anthony played 30 minutes, was 6 for 20 from the field.
Chucking it up,
doing work.
So I think, Carmelo, you also get the All-Star International Stackhouse of Pancakes
for worst box score of the week.
Yeah,
very quickly.
Yes,
I want to acknowledge that somehow, some way, Matthew Dellavedova was involved in an All Star weekend.
Right.
How does this happen?
Favorite
Michael Carter. No, he was on the world.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. No excuse.
He participated in some of the least inspiring, quote unquote, fancy plays.
And also, for All-Star Saturday, another thing that got really more and more ludicrous is the skills challenge.
Didn't see that.
Fine. There's no reason to watch it.
I saw that
the
a
people
random,
they got to do it was hilarious. Person,
a random street person chosen off of the street won, or was that Patrick Beverly?
Right.
Same person.
Well, yeah. There's no way this keeps happening because they only got people to participate who were already in New York. Jarrett Jack turned it down because they're like, "Oh, you're in Brooklyn. Can you come do it?" And he's like, "No, I'm good."
No.
Like the fact that oh, yeah.
I'm not coming into the city.
So anyway, all right. Let's leave All-Star Weekend in the rear view, and now let's move to the trades. We're just gonna go kind of team by team for people who did things.
I'm gonna grade them.
What if we started with we felt was our biggest trade?
Okay, that's fine.
We start with those, and then we work.
I wonder what Chuck will pick.
Oh, it's super simple, super simple. It was the Prigioni for Alexi Shved. Blockbuster.
I give that a C+. Blockbuster for both teams.
I actually thought when Shved got sent to the Rockets earlier this year that he might actually find a niche on the Rockets, but no.
They got 2 second-round picks Pablo Prigioni, and we laughed about that last week. And a player. So, well, Alexi Shved, but
yeah,
close to a player. But my favorite, obviously, is the Goran Dragic.
Into the Dragon.
The Dragic brothers coming to Miami.
I
think that's probably the marquee move of the...
I think we can let's go
player the best probably the best player that was moved yesterday.
Zoran? Yes.
Yeah.
We're not according to according to Suns GM Ryan McDonough.
Yeah, boy. I heard that he was throwing sweet shade. Well, no offense, but
through what he said.
He was put into a hammer vice.
I think that's the interesting. We can just talk about
we should say what he said
meal.
First.
So,
what
did he say? Well, first of all, a couple of things. First of all, he said in regards to just the Dragic trade, that they felt like they got the best player in the whole three-way trade.
Right.
And he was saying he thought Brandon Knight was better than Dragic, which he just, I don't know if he believes that in his heart or not. He did say it.
They have different skill sets.
And then today, or whenever it was.
He
was asked about the trade, about trading his best player. And he said, we still have Eric Bledsoe and Markieff Morris.
Morris.
Intimating that those two players are the Suns, or the Dragic was maybe third.
That's my new insult.
That is.
You're no Markieff Morris.
Yeah. Well, I think this year, Dragic, Goran, we're calling him GD. Are you with me? I don't know. Anyway, he was playing like crap because
a rap reference I understood.
Yeah, he was playing like crap. I think because he was put into this very awkward situation with Isaiah Thomas being a pick. He was third team All NBA last year. This is a guy that
he was unbelievable.
If
last
he
year.
Is focused, if an offense is focused through him, which I think they're going to have to be now, especially with Chris Bosh out, which is something else I guess we'll have to talk about. But you're looking at. Someone Wade's not gonna. He can't get the touches, and then you have pick and roll guys around him that can do well. And I think it'll be a good pickup for Miami. We'll see. It's better off for next year when you have more shooters and Chris Bosh back. But I think this year they'll be decent. They'll make the playoffs and they'll be all right. They'll go 6 games in the first round.
I think it's well. We got to say it's obviously a great deal for Miami.
They gave up nothing.
Well, actually, I can't say obviously because there are one of the best assets. If you're thinking of the long run, they gave up. I mean, these are far off picks, but the 2017 pick, the first round pick, only is a top 7 protected.
Right.
So that will, unless Miami has really fallen apart, which they could, but we assume as a prestigious free agent destination, once the cap jumps in 2 years, they won't have any trouble stocking that team.
Right.
So that pick will convey then. And then this is way off. We're talking about 12-year-olds current day.
2019.
Well, actually, and that's more than likely going to be 2021 unprotected.
Right.
So that's a big pick. That's an unprotected first rounder, which you don't see traded that often anymore. But if they re-sign Dragic, great trade.
Even if they don't, I'm okay with it.
If they... Because of the totally out of their control, awful news of Bosh, we're assuming is going to miss most of the season, if not all the season, with the blood clot in his lung.
Pulmonary embolism.
If Bosh is out, then just trading 2 future firsts for Dragic, where you're just going to tread water or lose ground because not having Bosh is such a big deal.
Right.
And then if Dragic wants to sign in LA, because his agent post-trade has said that LA would be a great fit for Dragic next year. then it becomes very problematic because obviously you wouldn't have traded those assets for just a few months of Dragic, especially if you knew Bosch was out.
Right. How is LA a great fit for anyone? Does he have like a plastic surgery addiction?
Yeah, this is
what
where,
the hell is happening.
This is where,
I believe Nip Tuck was set in Miami, was it not?
He's got three locations. He said he wanted to play in New York,
the
LA,
biggest
and Miami.
Ones. Yes.
Miami is the best franchise of those three, the best run, the most significant recently.
No argument.
In New York, you have the Triangle, which he will not be able to play
in. He's not a good fit
for that. In LA, it's Byron Scott's vaudeville antics.
Here's the biggest here's the red flag for me. Him announcing, I mean, I don't know what went behind the scenes in Phoenix. He announced that he'd lost faith in the front office or didn't trust the front office. I do know Phoenix re-signing or the restricted free agency of Eric Bledsoe wasn't smooth.
Right.
Like it seemed very contentious. And I feel like maybe he saw that and was like, that was awful. I don't want a part of this. And then they brought in Isaiah Thomas. His time with the ball was drastically down. Even though his minutes weren't drastically down, his time handling the ball, his touches were way down.
Usage rate was dry.
So
it does seem like a clown shoes organization to me. I think Jeff Hornacek does the best he can with what he's given.
Yes.
I don't particularly like how the roster is being manipulated now.
Right.
I loved their roster last year.
Right. So I'll say, but the red flag for me is maybe Dragic had a legit problem with the Suns organization. What I don't like is him going into his restricted free agency, announcing publicly, I want to go to one of these three markets, two teams that are horrible, and then the Heat, which are well below 500, even though they're still playoff positioned and they've had injury problems. Him announcing that he just wants to go to what is pretty much a big market to sign the biggest amount of contract he can, to me, is like this guy, one, wants to get paid, which isn't necessarily a problem. These guys, this is their livelihood.
Right.
So he's clearly angling to set himself up best for life. However, when he does it in such a public way and in such a way where he doesn't seem to care about the quality of team or organization he goes to, I have worries that, oh, he's 29 now. If he signs a 5-year extension and he's going to be 30 next year, will he keep taking care of his body? Will he keep, because he hasn't had a long NBA career.
No.
He's had a very brief time where he
low
was
mileage.
Time in the sun, if you will.
Right, right.
Where he's been really good. Mm-hmm. So I'd be concerned where in just a couple years into that contract, even though the cap does jump up, that he would be just dead weight, like Deron Williams nightmarish property.
He's the most loathsome figure in the Phoenix Albuquerque area since Skylar White.
Oh, geez.
No one loves Goran Dragic anymore. He completely hamstrung their negotiation.
Well,
all their leverage was gone.
Well, he didn't want to play there anymore, and that's how a player exacts.
But
he took control of the situation.
He did, and basically what would have happened if he did nothing was Phoenix would have sat there, and they wouldn't have traded him because no one in the right mind was going to pay Phoenix what they were asking if no one knew that Dragic wanted out. You see what I'm saying? So like the only leverage Dragic had, because they see Dragic as this humongous asset, because he is for them, for at least the way Phoenix saw him. And with him doing that, he lowered his own value so he could get out of a situation that he found.
I do. So I think it needs to be said.
And it is.
Going into the trade deadline, knowing Dragic was forcing himself out of there. And also, let's not forget Zoran. Goran and Zoran.
Him carrying around Zoran like
is hilarious.
Is
I have a theory of why.
A conspiracy theory?
Do you have a conspiracy theory?
I do.
Chuck's turkey bacon conspiracy theory of the week.
Not fully thought out, and this happened yesterday, but I was looking up the Dragic's brother's father. He is a world-renowned drug smuggler. Everyone knows this. And it's all designer drugs. But the reason why...
Moron Dragic?
Yeah, that's his dad's name, Moron. Zoran, Goran, and Moron. Anyway, so what people don't know is the reason why Dragic's, the brothers were traded together is because his father requested it. Because Zoran is actually a drug mule. He's filled with 400 pounds of MDMA.
And a condom up his butt.
Just one right up his pooper. And that his dad needed to get him both there. It has to do with customs and the port of Miami.
But he has to get him to Miami.
But they had to get him to Miami. So that was really all of this, why these things were leaked and everything like that.
This is very similar to Rick Fox's storyline in Oz.
Maybe in Phoenix, they're well located. You know, to maybe get some Mexican runners up through Mexico. Oh, so it came to Mexico.
Well, they need to move the product through the port of Miami to Europe.
Through the port of Zoran.
Right. Through his port side porthole.
He is stuffed from the rooter to the tutor with sweet liquid ecstasy.
I don't know. It's a theory.
Well, no, but there you have. I believe that is a
Chuck's Turkey Bacon Conspiracy of the Week.
That's a good one. I mean, it's also very timely.
I know that none of us are anti Goran Dragic, but
I would say I'm very pro. I love the guy.
I do too.
Like, I'm a big fan.
I did some of my favorite guys. I believe Haralabob and like Goldsberry and some guys were pointing out that Dragic's one good season is a tremendous outlier.
Yes.
Because he has, you know, I think he's 29.
I like to 28. I think he's 29.
29 in May.
Okay.
He has had many mediocre seasons.
He's a late bloomer.
Well, a while there, I believe, wasn't he the guy who his points per game had gone up every year, one of those rare.
He was a guy that did happen, and this is the year that he regressed. But
that's why he wanted out.
That's why
he needs to get those touches, get those points.
Well, that's the thing. So, what's weird is that Phoenix is now situated with a guy that I don't think they really wanted in Eric Bledsoe. I don't think they wanted to build around him.
Right.
You know, I think they were stuck because they couldn't accomplish a sign and trade with him.
Right.
Nobody wanted what they were going to give. And they're basically, they brought in Isaiah Thomas to be Bledsoe's replacement.
I think Isaiah Thomas comes off as a real so-and-so in this, like some sort of bizarre malcontent. Because he got
I think he was sold a bill of goods. I think he was told I don't think they sold Isaiah Thomas on the fact that we're going to have three point guards of high caliber on this roster. And he got angry when he was there. And then once he was angry, when they kept Bledsoe, he said, forget it. And he decided not to play anymore, and it ended up being a caustic locker room.
It's a random thought, wondering what they were thinking. In the offseason, I thought it was strange when they initially signed Bledsoe, and then I guess I drank the Kool-Aid, and I listened to Hornacek talk about it, and it sounded like he was saying, because a big deficiency of the Suns last year was backup point guard, and it seemed like they could make it work. And I actually believe Hornacek was saying, like, I can make this work. And so I kind of bought in, and I thought they were going to be really good this year.
Well, they were talking a three-guard system like they were the Providence Friars or something, which you can't really run three guards in the NBA.
I mean, the Suns did it in the 90s.
Huh?
The Suns did it with, like, Rex Chapman, Jason Kidd.
Last year of KJ.
Wesley Person, Kevin Johnson's last year. Yeah. Like, they had all those guys all playing. But so
those teams weren't that good though.
Yeah, but none of them was 5'9". Like you have Isaiah Thomas fits a very specific role in the NBA, and you can't build your whole roster around.
So they ended up sending. So whatever they thought about it, they sent Isaiah Thomas to the Celtics, and they got a first round pick back for him. So it's not a total loss. Isaiah Thomas has one thing going for him. I mean, he's obviously a tremendous, just instant offense, like microwave Johnson type. And he also has probably the best or one of the best contracts coming up. He's got 4 years. He's on a 4-year contract. It's around, I think, $8 million a year.
Yeah. Those are Reggie Jackson numbers.
Yeah.
Reggie, turn that down.
Right.
Reggie
so
no.
I think so. Not to get too. Off,
we're still.
I'm trying
one
to cover
trade.
Everything. We're still on, but it was the biggest trade.
Yeah.
So with
or Phoenix was the
with
biggest
Phoenix
player.
With the gun to their head, I thought they were going to lose this day badly. I actually think what ended up happening was almost as good as they could have hoped for.
Brandon Knight is a nice Band-Aid.
I think Brandon Knight. You were saying John was saying that he had done some next level looking into Brandon Knight's numbers. I'm a really big Brandon Knight fan. I think he's really good. I think the idea of trading out Dragic, who, again, I'm a huge fan, But knowing he doesn't want to be there, you're getting a younger, you're getting a more athletic guard who can also be the point, who also can, because now both Bledsoe and Knight are more combo guards.
Right.
I think Bledsoe and Knight are, I think Knight complements Bledsoe more than
Because he's just a shooter.
He's a better shooter from three.
Theme for today is I have found all these stats that do not support my arguments.
Nice.
Because what I was doing research on these guys. Brandon Knight has the worst drop-off in the league among starting point guards of his team is much better when he's not in the game.
You mean offensive rating or net rating or just everything?
Points scored.
Okay.
It is an 11-point difference.
Okay.
Points adjusted.
And that's the worst in the entire league by about 6 points.
It's interesting.
And I thought maybe this must be some sort of small sample size. And then I went and looked at the games where because he's missed a few games this season. I went and looked at the games. They won all of those games.
Right.
He is a ball hog, apparently. His usage rate is through the roof.
Right.
But how that might work is Eric Bledsoe isn't necessarily best when he has the ball in his hands all the time.
Right.
So his slashing, you know, get to the rim game might work well with a guy if Brandon's just shooting. Because, I mean, the guy is a lights out 3-point shooter and a great free throw shooter. So I think it might could actually work. Although it was shocking to me to see that that it was so rough with Brandon Knight in Milwaukee, because it seemed, you know, we talked about him as an all-star.
Yeah.
But that doesn't change. No matter, I don't care how bad they were when Brandon Knight was on the floor. He's still better than Michael Carter-Williams, which is what Milwaukee has decided to replace him with.
Yeah, and again, it's hard to talk about all these trades independently because they're all so intertwined.
It was a house of cards.
So we're gonna get,
I'm yelling domino.
We're gonna get to Milwaukee. So Dragic forces his way out, ends up in Miami. Miami unloads pretty much nothing. Contracts they were trying to include Birdman and
they didn't even give up Birdman.
McBob.
That's ridiculous.
They wanted Birdman in the deal.
But yeah. the Suns do get two decent first round picks. In the fact that the protections are so limited. I mean, yes, Miami hopes to be good and likely will be good, so they won't be lottery picks. But the fact that they're only one's the top seven and the other's not protected means they might have some big assets in the future, which is good for getting held over the barrel for your point guard. Then the Suns. So now we'll talk about, I guess, moving on to the Suns, Bucks, Sixers kind of switch. So
right.
I think it's intriguing that the Suns got Brandon Knight. So Milwaukee decides they don't want to pay. Brandon Knight's going to be a restricted free agent, and they decide, you know what? We don't want to hitch our wagon to this guy. Let's get a younger guy who's still under rookie contract.
Two younger guys.
Right.
You got Tyler Ennis too.
Yeah.
Two
yeah.
Point guards.
So they get Michael Carter-Williams, who's the big name in that. And the way the three worked is the Suns, while they're getting Miami's two first rounders, they sent out one of the better assets in the league in draft picks, the Lakers draft pick, which this year is top five protected and next year is top three. And then it's unprotected. So the Sixers are giving up again. We assume you are all following along at home because you have a unhealthy obsession with the NBA.
Infographic in front of you.
No one is as devout.
We may
as
have lost. This may be the worst podcast we've ever
done. No, this is going to be a very dry.
Because if people don't
informational,
if they don't care, or if they've already heard about it, they've, you know,
our listeners care, Chuck.
Okay, I'm just saying, guys, tweet us if you care. Sully, at Fast Break Break.
I know you're listening.
So let's talk about just the basic Michael Carter-Williams for Brandon Knight. I know there's a little more to the deal, but that is the big, those are the bullets and points of the thing.
Well, allow me to get abstract and do what I've been doing all podcasts, which is point to numbers that do not back up my opinion.
Yes.
Because Michael Carter-Williams, by any metric you use other than like points per game, which he actually has less this year as well, is regressing as a player already. However, Jason Kidd must see himself in Michael Carter-Williams. They're both oversized point guards who couldn't shoot early in their career.
That's right, because Jason Kidd was a horrible shooter.
Like Ricky Rubio-esque shooter. And he must see something in his game, and it'll be very interesting. Like, Jason Kidd has overachieved in every way that we could have ever thought as a coach. So this is a true test. If he makes Michael Carter Williams into an actual useful NBA player, like a caliber NBA starter, then I think, you know, we have to talk about coach of the year. We have to talk about one of the best coaches in the league.
Or if he gets Tyler Ennis to play decent. I mean, they also got Plumlee.
That's not going to happen.
And I don't even know. I like that.
I like the Plumlee pickup.
But yeah, Plumlee's good, but we don't know how good Tyler Ennis is because he was behind three other point guards in Phoenix. So it's kind of
what's interesting about Tyler Ennis and what makes him such an interesting prospect is he actually sucked in college.
Yeah.
So I don't understand.
Oh, that is intriguing. Yes. Tell me more. So I would say I know very little about him. I only saw him play some summer league. Like that's it.
He was a shitty player for Jim Boeheim's Syracuse team, which make all their point guards look good, and he's just another. And I'm telling you, look at how Syracuse point guards have fared in the NBA. I mean, Johnny Flynn, have mercy.
Okay.
Steph Curry says hi, Johnny.
Michael Carter Williams is a good defensive player. Obviously, I know some people think size is overrated. It isn't when you're that gangly and long. Like, yeah. It helps out. And so the Bucks
wingspan is unparalleled.
The Bucks wingspan is going to be unbelievable.
Can you imagine Jay Billis's mounting face when this trade went down? Claude, have mercy. The wingspan on this team. Ugh.
So the Sixers, I guess, do we feel like we don't need to spend much on the Bucks. I felt like we did that.
Mm-hmm.
So
Pistons.
Well, I'll say something about the Bucks is they're comfortably that they almost look locked in at the sixth seed in the East. Mm-hmm. So that's another reason it's very interesting because I think if you watch those games, you consider Brandon Knight to be their best player. The eye test is he's their best player. He's their go-to player. He gets them the big shots most of the time. He gets them the points. So it's interesting now to put in a guy who can't shoot. Their defense is going to be interesting. It's going to be curious how this affects their playoff run this year. You know,
look, all I know is Jay Billis hasn't been this happy since he landed that role in I Come in Peace.
Or since he met Young Jeezy.
Good point. Gotta go to work.
Gotta go to work. Jay Billis tweets Young Jeezy verses on a consistent basis.
Every morning at 5:30 a.m. Yeah. It's terrifying. Jay Billis has the most baller move of all. He's on Twitter, tweets regularly. Follows no one.
Zero people.
All right, so Philadelphia, who gave up Michael Carter Williams.
Can we talk about them for one second?
That's what we're doing.
Just a second.
They gave up Michael Carter Williams for a good asset, that Lakers pick, and they also traded super hot, exciting prospect of the early year. He has tailed off.
KJ
McDaniels, who goes to the Rockets for nothing, for Isaiah Cannon and a second-round pick.
And I will say this, KJ McDaniels is the most entertaining person to watch play defense besides Tony Allen in the whole league.
Young Scottie Pippen, I call him, Snotty Drippin.
I don't understand Philadelphia. I'm mad at them. I'm tired of it.
They've kind of passed some point of...
Is there something I don't know where they're trying to sell the team and devalue something? Is this major league? I'm sorry to go F-bomb there.
Don't apologize.
Is there like a picture in the clubhouse of the owner like in a onesie and they're peeling off strips?
I think they just realized that you can make money with a crappy team and you have no reason to invest in multi-million dollars. But you can save $15 million a year by not paying people and still make a decent...
They did get... I did not mention. They did get JaVale McGee.
Good Lord.
They had to give away a first-round pick.
They received a first round pick. So that's a good take.
Yeah. The Nuggets
paid the price.
They paid to get.
I don't understand. I know that none of us here are big Michael Carter Williams fans. We all think he's kind of bad. But I guess we say bad in the fact that he's not as good as maybe his stats look like or his fantasy numbers look like.
JaVale McGee is horrible.
Well, let's not even talk about him.
Did you see...
he doesn't play basketball.
Did you see Embiid tweeting at him, though? That's pretty good.
Embiid is a crazy person.
What was his tweet?
Somebody tell me what's going on.
Help.
All right.
It seems like the Sixers at some point you'd want to keep around some competent NBA players. You can't get all new, like an entire fresh roster next year. Like KJ McDaniels seems like he could stay around, and it seems like you could at least wait till the restricted free agency comes around and maybe do a sign and trade. I don't understand getting rid of him for almost nothing. What that is for.
I didn't know you could blow up a roster that you've already blown up.
Can we stop talking about them?
Jeopardy.
They're just the worst people.
Yeah, and obviously, if you've listened to our podcast, you know they had climbed my league pass watch rate rankings. I enjoyed watching them scrap and play, and now it's like, what? I mean, I love Covington more than anyone, but just Covington? Come on.
College fan alert, Isaiah Kanan, excellent college player.
Yeah, great. Can we talk about how the Thunder are probably going to get out of the West now with these trades?
Yeah. I don't know if I'm ready to talk about the Thunder.
Let's save the Thunder.
They're like Debo and Friday now. Yeah, I'm scared to say their name.
Thug.
Yeah.
Let's go to Kevin Garnett triumphant hilarious return.
Can we just give lip service? Yeah, he went to Minnesota.
Great. Horrific trade. Minnesota
gave a first round draft pick for Kevin Garnett. Great trade.
Yeah,
Minnie.
If that's how you break it down,
that's it. That is because they gave a first round pick for Thad Young.
I'm glad they'll have someone to bully all of those young stars now.
Yeah,
I would like to.
Anthony Bennett's
going to be cowering and trembling in a puddle of his own urine. After KG berates him,
yeah,
the very first practice for not giving up his hot.
Okay, so Minnesota, are we done with that?
Oh no! I was gonna say, Billy King
is not my lover.
Poor GM.
He
Mount Rushmore of poor GMs.
I want to go through his. This is what you get for Joe Johnson. These players are on the team. Joe Johnson. Darren Williams, Thad Young.
Yes.
This is what you trade to get Joe Johnson, Darren Williams, and Thad Young. You trade Devin Harris, Derek Favors, Enes Kanter, Dame Lillard, Gorgui Dieng, James Young, and five more future first-round picks.
Well, you know.
In a second round.
That's a I'm sorry. Oh, yeah. Four more future first-round picks and a second rounder. That's a total of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 first-round picks, Derek Favors and Devin Harris for Joe Johnson, Darren Williams, Thad Young.
You know, for most people, hindsight is 20/20. For Billy King, hindsight better be 4/20 with some medical-grade marijuana because he needs to forget that any of that happened and hopes that the rest of the league forgets that it happened.
And also, okay, so we can leave Brooklyn and Minnesota alone. One note, apparently Kevin Garnett, the corpse of Kevin Garnett, is talking about an extension?
Yes, it's happening.
Playing more? It's just crazy.
Two more years.
Into the NBA when I was in the fifth grade.
All right.
Chuck is grizzled now.
What do you think the Celtics, the Boston Celtics have perhaps turned the corner from tanking to let's start building?
Right. And then because
they have a lot of picks. Jared, I did a hilarious tweet because Jared Sullinger is out indefinitely with stress fractures, feet. And I someone tweeted the, if there's only something he could do to take pressure off his feet. So they acquire Isaiah Thomas. For a rather protected first rounder or late first rounder,
1,000 first round picks.
So. I think it's interesting because he is a good, as we said, Isaiah Thomas is a good scorer. And that team, it seems like Brad Stevens has him playing great.
Brad Stevens is
they need
coach.
Scorers, so it's like I think it could be great if you have their guards, the Marcus Smart and Avery Bradley. Like a three guard rotation. In my mind, that seems to work. I can envision that happening.
They need scoring, and Isaiah Thomas is going to provide that. The thing I love about the Boston trade is that they really didn't give away much. To me, a 2016 first for them and Tayshaun Prince and Marcus Thornton is not a bad price to play for two decent bench players in Keith Parrish and Jonas Derebko.
Word is Datome is likely getting bought out.
GG.
You're going to be a very wealthy man. Soon,
although they did give him a number.
Keith Parrish doppelganger Luigi Datome, those are on the move.
So Tayshaun Prince, yeah, they sent that was pretty much just a straight up. Just here's a quality move. We'll send him to Detroit. Not our problem anymore. Right. Maybe the Derebko and GG are both expiring deals. They'll check him out. I will say Jonas Derebko taking over employee number 8's number.
Oh, no.
He's going to be number 8 on the Celtics.
Oh, no.
And and Gigi DeTome.
Where's this employee number 8 thing come from? I read about it.
Was Antoine
about?
Walker.
Yeah, okay.
That's just his thing. Yeah.
The greatest 3-point specialist ever.
Antoine Walker got me a ring, baby.
41-foot 3-pointer early in the shot clock.
The DeTome number mm-hmm. 70.
Wow.
Do you know the only other NBA player? Here's a quick game of
Dennis
Scones.
Rodman.
This is Illuminati.
Yeah, you nailed it. I was going to say the only other NBA player to wear that number like last 20 years. Yeah, it's Dennis Rodman.
70? Don't play games with me, Keith.
He did 70 with who?
Dennis Rodman rocked all them numbers.
No way to know. He was...
okay.
So
I just have to take your word on it. Fine.
Washington.
You mumbling bastard.
Washington. The Washington professional basketball team traded the Professor Andre Miller for the professional, I don't know.
Worst point guard in the league.
A struggling point guard in Ramon Sessions. Yeah.
George Karl's not playing without the Professor on his squad.
If
we were going to equate Ramon Sessions to a breakfast food, what would it be? It would just be one that you forget.
Crackling
right?
Oat bran. Like
something that does nothing good nor bad for you.
Kicks. What about kicks?
How about total? A bowl of plain total.
Well, that seems good for the old Gruder and the Tudors.
Since I've done this before, I will make an argument for Ramon Sessions.
He's out of your mind.
I'm out of my mind. He's a good penetrator.
Ugh.
Unfortunately, he can't finish or shoot his shot.
Makes me feel so gross when you say
penetrator. And he's not a very good passer.
So I don't know. That move doesn't do a whole lot. Let us talk about a Western Conference good team
mm-hmm.
who is trying to make
the move to
move in. The Portland Trail Blazers.
Oh, that's the wrong one.
No. We're saving future NBA champ Oklahoma City Thunder.
Yeah.
No, let's talk about one of the first reported move of the day was the Portland Trail Blazers traded this year's first round pick because they are going to make the playoffs. And Thomas Robinson to receive Aaron Aflalo and Alonzo G.
G U.
I can't remember if it's Gee or
it's Gee.
Okay.
In my world. It's like a Brazilian jiu-jitsu gi.
I literally
it's
don't
like a
know.
Gracie brother.
So let's talk about Aflalo.
He's a decent defensive player, good sixth man for them. I guess troublesome T-Rob is addition by subtraction. To me, this is like one of the more harmless trades. I think it's a lot of you know, kerfluffle over nothing.
And
I don't think it changes very much.
I think going forward,
here's what it means.
Maybe.
It means they don't think they can re-sign Wes Matthews, and that's big.
That thought is obviously what you take from it, because mm-hmm. I know positions are becoming a little more amorphous,
right.
But those guys are both not really forwards.
Right. And does this also signal that Nicholas Batum is one of the worst contracts in basketball?
It's so weird what happened to Batum, and who knows if that'll keep lasting.
He has had
some blips. Where like his shots go in, but he is it's such a
the most notable off. Thing he's done this year is punch someone in the balls again.
I think he has mono.
Yeah, he has year long mono.
Yeah.
He
has mono. I do. I'm it's interesting. We see things the same way too much now, if you're John. I also feel like it's a good move, but it doesn't move the needle much.
No.
It's like their offense is not going to improve that much. Their bench is going to be he helps coming off the bench. But I just don't see it doing a whole lot. Like, they already have a good offense. I don't feel like their offense is going to improve that much. Even if they're hoping there won't be any drop off when they're bringing subs in. But I don't feel like it affects them much against the other good teams in the West.
It seems like a corrective measure, but they probably could have done so much better getting a player like Wilson Chandler. To fulfill the role that Batum once fulfilled, which he clearly no longer does. But I do think Aflalo is, a solid player.
He's a solid player. He hasn't looked good at all this year.
No.
And it's one of those things where maybe just the whole Brian Shaw's aroma.
He's a Brett Saberhagen type where it's like good year, bad year.
Was that baseball?
That's baseball.
Okay.
Sorry,
don't do
guys.
That again. Don't ever do that again.
In the offseason, I remember when Aflalo was traded for Evan Fournier, I was like, what?
Right.
But that seems like nothing to get Aflalo. And then you watch him play this year, you're like, oh, maybe it seems fine.
Yes.
Like it's been, although Fournier's been up and down.
Still a pretty damn good defensive
but
player, though.
He is. I mean, again, he's a solid NBA player. He's a good rotation guy. You feel like he can fit in. So I think it helps them, but I don't think it moves the needle for them being able to get into the you know, I don't think they're one of the best West teams.
It just reaffirms my belief that Portland is a pretender. Sorry, Matt Sullivan. Listener Matt Sullivan.
Which is sad because again, Portland is again they're probably a top six team in the NBA, right? But I don't think they're going to be able to make it to the West Finals even with this move.
Who in the West do they beat in the first round? Who?
Clippers.
No.
Well, if Blake Griffin plays, they beat him. If Blake Griffin doesn't play, apparently maybe the Clippers are unbeatable. I think the Mavs are a mess.
Rockets.
I think Mavs are the only team that could probably take in a seven game series. I think the Mavs are the only team the Blazers will beat.
I would take the Blazers over the
Rockets.
Definitely the Mavs. Definitely the Clippers. And I think the Rockets series would be a coin flip.
Like last year, where it took a miracle shot for them to beat the Rockets. The Rockets are good.
They are very good.
I'm telling you, the Blazers are not that good.
I think, in my opinion, those are both they're equalish. I could see either one win.
I really think Portland loses its edge since Dame Lillard made the playoffs.
He made the All-Star game and he lost his motivation. That could be true.
Well, Dame Lillard, the thing about Dame Lillard is he's not afraid to have like a truly poor shooting performance.
He'll just keep shooting.
And they're not going to be able to live through those.
Yeah.
Especially, you know.
But that's every team. I mean, every team has guys if they're off.
If your second guy doesn't play well, you're not going to win.
Let's go to
the one I've been waiting for.
Just the big one,
because
we don't need to talk about Denver. I mean, they surprisingly didn't really move Wilson Chandler.
Yeah. Oh, also Brooke Lopez didn't go anywhere.
Brooke Lopez. Well, none of those.
Yeah.
Johnson, Deron Williams, none of the big Nets contracts went anywhere. All right, so
Brooke Lopez is like the hot girl in high school who was so mean that she became ugly.
Mm.
Like she shot everyone down so hard that now she's just all alone. In the corner, no friends, no suitors.
What a sad story.
What's happened to Brooke Lopez?
Let's go.
She works at Hooters and like
our final
gets hit on by weird old 60-year-olds.
The final, I think, transaction we should talk about, obviously, is the what Oklahoma City did involving Utah and involving Detroit. So Utah just unloads Enes Kanter, who doesn't want to be there, and they pick up a first round pick, but. It's one of those things where he's going to be a restricted free agent, and they're like, they're not going to pay him. They don't want to pay him. He doesn't want to be there. So it's fine. They got rid of a guy, and they pick up a mild asset. Detroit, I'm not sure if they're better. They lose a decent role player in Kyle Singler. They give up Drebko and Dotome, who aren't really playing.
It was a reverse whitewash in Detroit.
Well, they send those white boys down to the Midwest.
Yeah, Stan Vance sent some of those guys to Southie too.
But then they pretty much trade DJ Augustine, who has filled in
admirably,
but inconsistently.
Right.
Yeah. He sucks.
But he's
not a starting point guard, which is what he won't be in Oklahoma.
Correct. He's a suture.
Right. Yes.
You know, but so they for Reggie Jackson, who burned bridges as he hightailed out of Oklahoma City.
We gotta stop and talk about something that we say in text to each other. We use a term that we call unwell.
Unwell.
And it originates with Larry Sanders taking a ludicrously cheap buyout.
Right.
Where I don't know if it was Keith or Chuck, but they termed him as mentally unwell.
Well, people ask me, like, I had friends who would text and be like, hey, are the Grizzlies, can we get Larry Sanders? And it's like, Larry Sanders is not playing basketball. He's unwell.
Yes.
And unwell doesn't mean injured. No. It doesn't mean hurt.
And we said...
This is all emotional.
When Reggie Jackson turned down that extension, we all texted one word to each other, and that was unwell.
Yeah, because
in hindsight, only days later, I think Reggie Jackson is going to get a contract double that size playing for Stan Van Gundy as a starting point guard.
It'll be interesting. I mean...
He's going to get paid.
No, he'll get paid.
His numbers when Westbrook was out were
his extension
amazing.
He turned down, I believe, was a four-year, $52 million extension.
I thought it was four-year, $32 million.
I think it's 52.
Okay, maybe he is still.
It was
unwell.
A big. It was. I believe it was along the lines of the Alec Burks, and I think it was along those lines. But he turned it down. He said he woke up from a nap, was a Piston, and cried tears of joy.
Mm-hmm. he's from Detroit, right?
To get out of there.
He just really loves RoboCop.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So the Detroit gamble. I mean, one, it's awkward for Brandon Jennings. Obviously, Brandon Jennings and Reggie Jackson can't imagine those guys playing together.
The bell has tolled for Brandon Jennings.
I don't know. Reggie's kind of a weird combo.
He is a weird combo.
And so is Brandon. So
but I can't imagine that.
That's Brandon Jennings injury is a devastating injury. This is a smart move. They should not bank on him being able to be the same player.
It's a smart move, and then they can see if they can pick up. Because, again, the league is flush in point guards, and they can see if he can be one of maybe their dynamic scoring, creating point guard. So it's interesting to
see. I don't think it's smart when we are in an era of point guards. I don't think it's smart to overpay a middling. And I think
they haven't paid him yet.
Right. But when they get there, I just don't think it's smart to overpay
the Kemba Walker effect.
Right. Yeah. It's exactly the same thing. And the same thing's going to happen in Phoenix. I think with Knight, these guys are middle of the great point guards in other eras. But in this era, they're not going
to
stand out.
I'm with you that there seems to be a lot of them. And so you don't want to pay a lot of money because there's other options, but there also comes to a point when you have to take who's the best player available to you. So I think it's interesting for Detroit.
I like Detroit. Tayshaun's probably going to get bought out. I think he's asking for one.
I think that's interesting. Tayshaun gets sent to the Pistons, and everyone's like, "Oh, happy reunion!" Beautiful. He gets to retire, and Tayshaun's like, "I want to play.
I need to get another ring."
Stan Van is not into it. He's not a sentimental man.
Well,
he's not a sentimental fool.
Oh, you're saying Stan Van isn't interested in Tayshaun Prince? He wants to get him out.
He will buy him out.
I assume they actually wanted him. Mm-hmm. Because they gave up some wing players, they maybe needed them.
So ultimately, I think Oklahoma City.
Let's talk about Oklahoma City.
Okay, so last year they are within a Derek Fisher from beating the Spurs, I think,
and a surge injury,
from beating the Spurs. Now they have DJ Augustine is a upgrade over. Okay, so we're gonna take last year's team.
They have depth.
Depth is there. They have, you know, Singler coming
just
off.
Just getting a table-setting point guard.
Right.
Who's high. I mean, DJ Augustine, not a good NBA starter, although he can mesh and he can work. Incredibly competent backup. We saw it on the Bulls last year filling in. We saw it on the Pistons this year. That is an incredible get for them.
Cantor is, while a defensive liability, is going to be great around the rim.
Cantor's a huge get because... And the addition by subtraction of Kendrick Perkins, sorry to interrupt you, that's so huge.
No, it's humongous. And whatever, we'll laugh at Steve Novak still being in the league, but he's 7 feet tall and can shoot a three-pointer, which with that kind of...
It remains to be seen who those minutes go to, but also the option of Kyle Singler, who's you got to say underrated just because he never gets talked about and you never see him on TV. He can play and he can shoot.
They're going to roll out some 80% white boy lineups that are going to be infuriating.
Yeah. Oh, that Chesapeake Arena is going to just light up with the energy.
The Okies from Muskogee are going to be going bonkers. Mitch McGarry, Steven Adams, Nick Collison,
I think
Kyle Singler.
By itself, getting rid of Kendrick Perkins does wonders for them and their lineups and their rotations. I've always thought that he's just been the worst starter
Presti is trying to Scotty Brooks proof this team.
That's exactly what it is. It's like he's put child locks.
He's like, you can't screw this
up. He's like, it's that scene in Moneyball where I don't know any of the players where Brad Pitt's like, you're not playing him. I just traded him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But
Jeremy Giambi?
For as much as we give Presti crap, this team is well built around their superstars. And
I love this roster.
Calling it. They're going to win in the first round. Doesn't matter who they play.
Doesn't matter.
I don't care if it's the Warriors. They're going to win.
Here is the only problem, and it's a big problem. Kevin Durant's feet are in pain. We don't want to read too much into it. On Thursday night, the first game after the break, when they just smote the Mavericks.
Yeah.
They look good. However, Kevin Durant's visibly discomfort with
his
feet.
That's huge.
Change his shoes, and then like the sideline reporter is all like, the doctors told him after these procedures he's going to experience discomfort for the rest of the year. Like, that's a lot to put, like, your feet, that's a big deal.
Can we talk about Kevin Durant just period?
Briefly.
Is he unwell?
No, he's locked in.
What about this?
He is saying strange things.
I would hate to give two.
He's lost the media.
Conspiracy theories in one.
Episode. Is this Chuck's turkey bacon?
You got to say that the Little B base God's curse has really...
It's real.
Do you guys know about
yes.
the Little
B?
You need to explain it for the listeners.
Okay, so the Little B the base God is a Bay Area rapper, Oakland Bay Area rapper, who is bad at rapping. He's worse at rapping than we are at podcasting. And he basically is someone people hate on the internet. And this guy is a huge Tumblr kind of, he's like the Tumblr, you know, Wu-Tang or something. Like people who are on that website care about Lil B. Anyway, Kevin Durant years ago says, Lil B sucks. He's terrible. And Lil B on Instagram or on Twitter says, Kevin Durant will never win a championship. This is the curse of Lil B because he says Lil B sucks. And ever since that moment, he is not only, you know, obviously lost to the Heat in the finals. This was before the Heat's loss or the Oklahoma City loss in the finals. Kevin Durant has transformed from media darling to like a gargoyle that everyone kind of hates now. And it's almost like a Walter White transformation. Two Breaking Bad references in one show, guys.
He's gone from Scarface to Mr. Chips, though.
Yeah, that's
it. And nobody wants Mr. Chips in the NBA.
No, he didn't. He's gone from Mr. Chips to Scarface. It's exactly what he's done. He was that guy. Remember when LeBron, you know, after LeBron went to Miami, Kevin Durant signed his extension very quietly, and everybody held up Kevin Durant as this example of wonder and amazement and
we'll
how
see
you
how
should
they feel
do
when
it.
He goes to the Wizards next year.
Right. Like this guy's getting, has gotten kid glove treatment by the media for his whole career, and he's talking to them like they're not his best friend. And all he had to do was hold on to him for a while.
I mean, he has gone surly. I call this the Marshawn Lynch effect.
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
Everyone saw what Marshawn Lynch did, and Marshawn Lynch is unequivocally awesome.
Yeah.
And anyone who besmirches Marshawn Lynch is a fool.
Well, this was the thing that was that they were talking about this week on the Dan Le Batard shows here. We've changed the dynamic of the sports athlete. The sports athlete no longer needs the media to get his message across.
It's so true.
And that's why we're at this weird crossroads, I think, between media and athletes. And there's going to be these guys who are just like, we don't need you anymore. You guys should treat us well because no matter what, I don't have to go to you to get my message across. I send a tweet and 2 million people have seen what I just said.
All right. So
thank you for that, Chuck.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
To wrap up, to par fade away.
Just sweet Charlie.
To par fade away for this trade deadline talk. We think, well, I'll ask you guys, who do you think now that the rosters, and we still are going to have buyouts, still the teams aren't totally set yet. We're going to have one last round of players shuffling. But who do we think, I'll go and say, I think right now, the West is a kind of exciting four-team race. I think it's Golden State. I think it's Memphis. I think it's Spurs. I think it's Thunder.
I still think the Rockets and the Clippers are in the conversation.
I don't think the Clippers went around. I don't buy the Rockets. They could win like a Portland or whoever the matchup is. I think those other four are big. As a Grizzlies fan, I would honestly, it's so hilarious how like Golden State just put together this most incredible pre All-Star maybe that we've seen in a long time. Yeah. And it's funny how little, I don't know. They don't scare me. This is speaking as a Grizzlies fan. Like I'm mortified of what the Thunder have done. And I still, the Spurs freak me out. Even though they haven't looked good, still this year they haven't put it all together.
To me, Grizzlies are the favorite, and here's why. Because they are the most unique team in the NBA. And they have been built to defeat the types of teams that we're looking at.
Yes.
And I don't think anyone else, the only team I think, well, maybe they're not the favorite. I actually think the Thunder are really frightening now.
Yeah, you guys are crazy.
And they're the team that I think can in a seven-game series, could, you know, they could just overpower the Grizzlies.
Memphis is a very cute.
Steven Adams beats up team. Zebo.
Cute team.
They're cute. I love you guys. It's great. But as it stands right now in the West, you guys, if you get to the second round, I'll be quite happy.
Who's beating them in the first round?
Yeah, well,
if they play the Spurs or the Thunder.
Spurs or the Thunder. I mean, it would be weird for
Spurs?
Them.
No. Spurs are not the Spurs of old.
One thing as a Grizzlies fan that makes me nervous is all NBA writers and NBA TV people are all picking the Grizzlies. like now, as of now. Like, and well, that's
that's because they've been watching basketball and the Grizzlies have been taking down these.
You don't
really
ever
good
want
teams.
That because those people are never right.
That is true.
Yeah.
When Brian Windhorst is singing your praises, something's wrong.
I just think they're a good team. The Grizzlies are a very good ball club, but the West is ridiculous. And at the end of the day, I'm taking a team that has the best players on it. And that's usually going to be with San Antonio or Oklahoma City.
The Spurs don't have the best player out of between the Grizzlies and the Spurs.
I think Kawhi Leonard's better than anybody on the Memphis.
He's better than Marc Gasol.
Kawhi Leonard's memory is better.
That's for sure.
Kawhi Leonard's finals last year is better. Yeah. Kawhi Leonard's 2014-2015 season.
Well, that's the thing. You can't talk about the Spurs until the playoffs.
It's true.
No matter what happens during the regular season with them, it's kind of immaterial because it all matters for them in June. And that's all that
what
that
do we
built for.
What do we think about the East?
My final point is okay. I will say a Grizzlies team that is much lesser than this has swept the Spurs in the playoffs before.
You're right. No, you're right.
The Grizzlies have, point of order, never swept the Spurs in the playoffs.
I thought we went to 4-0 in the early. What was that? 4-2?
4-2.
4-2.
Gary Neal had a game winner, had a crazy going to overtime.
I will never forgive Gary Neal for that shot.
Yeah. Anyway, so the East, what do we think?
The East, best team in the East are the Cleveland Cavaliers.
I was really excited about the Heat until this Bosch tragedy. Sorry for that bomb.
It's really tragic.
No question.
And our thoughts and well wishes go to him. And from what we've gathered so far, it isn't life-threatening, which is amazing. And whatever happens on his recovery is hopefully good.
As basketball fans, this is terrible because it was going to be very interesting.
Now that we've
to
got
see
that
what
the human side
the
out.
Possible, the possible Cavs Heat first round. Everyone was. Oh,
I was so excited for Chuck.
Dude.
I mean, Chuck was going to be giddy.
I had sent the text.
Chuck was going to show up to these podcasts prepared. Like, it was going to be incredible. He was going to have watched basketball.
Chuck's been asking for our league pass logins.
Yeah. Guys, I don't know if you guys know anything.
Did you watch basketball last night, Chuck?
I did.
Oh, my God.
I watch a lot of basketball GIFs on the internet. Actual whole games.
Vines. Yeah.
A lot of whole games. I'm a busy man. I got a lot of plates spinning. So, anyway, where was the text? I think I have a Heat text.
Oh.
Yeah.
I feel so awkward playing the music because I'm actually sad. This is a scorned Heat, perhaps a cursed Heat fan, texts a friend, present day edition. This is texts from Thursday night. I started the text, so the first sound you hear will be Keith texting John and Chuck. bit.ly/rbx2n. Bosch is out.
Summoning Andre Blatch.
Mike Beasley homecoming.
We need him. I'm going to cut myself now.
And there you have it. A scorned and perhaps cursed Heat fan. Texas friends, as we say, yes, the Heat will probably have to get a Blatch or a Bees. It's so sad.
Well, I like how you spelled out the link of doom.
Yeah.
H-T-2-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S
if a link is sent out in our group text, no one clicks it.
No,
it's too scary.
John puts so
I'm
many
a terrorist.
Humongous.
I am the ISIS of texting.
Yes.
All right. So we're gonna wrap it up. There's no Grizzlies epilogue this week. It's fun when the players have changed locations. So it's a breath of fresh air, an infusion of new blood. More stuff to watch for. We're sad for Chris Bosh. Get well. We also as NBA fans who cut our teeth in the '90s, we're real sad also with the passing of Jerome Kersey.
RIP number 5.
Yeah, he was
that's 20, a good look, 25. Steve Blake.
Yeah. Well, Steve Blake is changing his number to number 5. Hells, so the Portland Trailblazers 25 will be recognized. So thanks for listening, guys. I hope your team got better. Check us out on Twitter @FastBreakBreak. So for John and Chuck, I'm Keith. Thanks for listening.
Thanasis Antetokounmpo.
And remember, breakfast is the most important thing.